I know it's kind of a little warm out here. I'm going to not necessarily keep my message short because it's hot, but I will probably keep my message a little shorter now because a lot of times most of you already know what God has in mind. But this is the fifth day of Sukkot. And when we look at this place, or this, not us, but the Sukkot itself, it belongs to God. We know it is from Him. And He has a lot of wonderful things. And on these feast days, there is tremendous amount of food. Also tremendous amount of praise dancing and many other things that we like to do before God. And one of the things that we do, we try to give a message at least once a day here. So I'm going to go back. Go back just a little bit. I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. If you want to do so. You don't have to because I'll read it up here. But I have a different translation than maybe some of you do. I have a combination of the Old English and the New King James Version. You know, so I kind of bring the two together because there's certain words I like in the Old King James. The fourth chapter. Now Moses here is talking up to the people of Israel who are about ready to enter into the promised land. And it's toward the very end of his life. Actually, it's the 11th month of the year for him. And he died in the 11th month. And there are things that I want to be able to talk to you today about. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 4, begin to number, first verse. Now Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you today to observe, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which Yahuwah Elohim, your fathers, is giving you. Now, the very most important thing is the statutes and the judgments. When the Jewish people, when they open up to reading the Torah, they use those two words. And there are two things constantly with God, the statutes and the judgments. And now, as he is ready to tell the congregation, he says something there in verse 2, ye shall not add to the word which I command you today, nor take from it, that ye may keep the commandments of Yahuwah, your Elohim, that I command you. See, there are no amendments to any of the statutes of God. You cannot write a new statute to override a statute. And you cannot change a judgment and reverse the judgment or alter the judgment of God. You can't amend, you can't add, you can't take away. And it's a pretty, these statutes and judgments are not as hard for us to really understand if we just look at them and say, okay, that's what it says. I am my life not going to do this. Many of you have walked now for many years, and you're learning to walk for many years, walking and trying to find out what is the statutes, what are the statutes, and what are the judgments. And you go to the Torah section to find out what those statutes are. And you do it because of one reason. You want to know. And you want to understand. And you want to have God show you and teach you. You really don't want to add anything to it, and you don't want to subtract anything to it. But one thing I know you want as much as I do, I want understanding. I want to understand the statutes, not thinking where I'm going to accept them or not accept them, just to understand them. And same thing with the judgments. I may be able to come to understand the judgments, not to challenge the judgments, not to question the judgments, but just to understand the judgments. And the Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Sukkot, we are here now, and we have come here because we want to do what God wants us to do. I don't think there's a person here today that is here because, well, I ought to be. Because, you know, well, God commands it. I think you're here because you want to know. And you want to understand. I don't have any more to add to this statement because I just want to tell you this is how I see. Have some of you, don't say anything, have some of you felt that you have fallen short of the statutes while you are here at the feast? Have some of you felt that you didn't like or didn't really want to have the judgments that God put against you? I'll talk about that at the end of this sermon so you can kind of take a look and you can know whether God is really, really showing you what He wants to show you. We all depend upon Him. Thine eyes, verse 3, have seen that Yahuwah did to Baal Peor, and Yahuwah, our Elohim, has destroyed from among you all men who followed Baal Peor. But ye who held fast to Yahuwah, your Elohim, you are alive today. Hold fast. Stand strong. Be bold. Be courageous. Even though people will say, why are you following the statutes of God? Why do you care about the judgments of God? I mean, after all, men actually could grow and develop and understand and make their own set of laws, their own set of judgments, their own set of statutes, which are equal to or superior to what Moses wrote because it's so long ago. And they're not personally related to our country. However, with the word of Devarim Elohim, it is definitely related to our country. He just had not put down the judgment yet. The judgment still will come with our friends and relatives and our fellow employee, our fellow worker. But if you have held fast and you are holding fast, the reason why you're here at this Feast of Sukkot is because you are holding fast. You may not be thinking you're holding fast as strong as you would like to hold fast. Bear with me. You are stronger than you know. All right? Fifth verse. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as Elohim, just as Yahweh Elohim commanded me that you should act according to them and in the land which ye shall possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them. Observe the statutes and observe the judgments. For this is something great for you. It is your wisdom. Many of you have probably said internally, I wish I was a wise person. Hear the word of Creator of heaven and earth that says, if you look at my statutes, and you look at my judgments, and you follow, you be them, they activate part of your world, what does God say? You have wisdom. What else does He say? Okay. So we are here now, and He says, you have great understanding. I'm paraphrasing this. In the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes, and those people will say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding people, not individuals. The nation becomes wise. The whole congregation becomes wise. The whole assembly of God becomes wise. And people will do something. They will notice it. You say, well, no one notices me. Well, you're here today. You're here to hear the word of the Lord. You're here to hear the statutes. You're here to hear, well, I'm not going to talk about statutes today. But if you hear, you go to the Word of God, you go to the statutes, what do they say, what do they mean, and you live them, you do them, and you make judgments based upon those statutes according to how God says to judge, and you will be considered wise. You'll be considered one who has great understanding. You don't have to. You do not have to do it with words. I'll get to that point later. It's very, very important that it is something quite different. For what great nation, verse 7, is there that has Elohim to so near to it? The Yahuwah, our Elohim, is to us, that whatsoever reason we may call upon Him. And that great nation, verse 8, and that great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as all that are in all the law that I have set before you. Verse 9, only take heed unto thyself and diligently keep them. Diligently keep the statutes. Diligently keep the judgments. Lest you forget the things thine eyes have seen. Lest they depart from thy heart all the days of your life. Teach them to your children. When we have our, you know, sometimes we say we already know what the book of Deuteronomy says. We already know what Leviticus says. We already know what Genesis says. We already know all that stuff. Let's move on quickly to the prophets. Let's get on. Let's get into, let's go into see what Apostle Paul has to say. Right? So we have this world that we have been trained to think, go to the New Testament because it is full of wisdom. It is full of understanding. It's full of compassion. It's full of great understanding. But the truth is right here, isn't it? And so when you have sometimes wondering what you might look at the Word of God, you might want to say, I wonder what God thinks. He has already told us what He thinks. Did He leave anything out of the statutes? Nothing He left out. Did He leave anything out of His judgments? He left nothing out. And so you're wondering, saying, what is it that God really wants me to do? Go to the statutes. Go to the judgments. Because what did the Messiah say? Not one jot and not one tittle will be removed from the statutes and the judgments. So He guides us there. Our Messiah guides us to that very, very point. And so we are here at the Feast of Shavuot, Sukkah, to try to understand a little bit more of how God thinks. Chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Very often quoted chapter, which is a good chapter, by the way. And it says, verse 1, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which Yahuwah, our Elohim, has commanded to teach you, that ye may observe them in the land which ye are crossing over to possess. That thou may fear Yahuwah, your Elohim, to keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, that thou and thy son and thy grandson, all the days of thy life, and that thou days may be prolonged. That's under the third generation. Father, son, grandson. Third generation. The first generation is required by God to teach His son. And his son is supposed to teach his son, but grandpa is supposed to also teach his grandson. Right? That's what it says. Right? And sometimes as old people we say, it's their turn. But the truth is, it is our turn. All right? Verse 3. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it. Observe what? The statutes and the commandments and the judgments. That it may be well with thee, and that ye may multiply greatly as Yahuwah Elohim of thy fathers has promised thee, a land flowing with milk and honey. Prosperity, blessing, wonders. That flowing land of milk and honey is based upon the statutes that you observe and do, and the judgments that you observe and do. Then the land will be flowing with milk and honey. Great understanding will be there, and the whole peoples around the world will look and say, well, look at this. A people who have great wisdom, great understanding. And we have there in the book of Isaiah, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, unto the house of Jacob. And all of you have been around long enough to know, as Apostle Paul so says so, ye who were without God, and you worship stones, you worship images, you worship things differently, now you are a commonwealth with Israel. Every one of us is joined now in spirit and in truth unto the house of Jacob. And we know what he says there about the olive tree. You have been grafted on. Now you are part of the house of Jacob. So when it says those who grabbed the tzitzit of a Jew, we're talking one who really understands God, wants the statutes of God, understands the statutes of God, lives the statutes of God, and understands the judgments of God, and lives the judgments of God, they're going to grab hold of that tzitzit. Not just because he's by race, because he has great wisdom, great understanding. This is what it's all about. And some of us may feel that we're not there. If you're not there, I'm not going to say why not. I'm going to say, if you're not there, have you really seen inside of you whether or not you really are there? Do we fall short? Yeah. Does that make us dumb? When we return back to the statutes, return back to the judgments, that gives us wisdom, gives us great understanding. And people will see, oh, look at these. Look at this nation. Look at the people. God is really close to them. And anything that they would confront and they ask God for, he says, yes. Because they're not looking out for their own lust, their own flesh, their own desires. But they have looked at the statutes of God, and Apostle, I can say, I call him Apostle David, I don't know why. King David said, oh, how I love thy law. It is ever near me. It is ever with me. And praise to God when he stumbles, to restore, bring back that to me. Sometimes when you know the book of Revelations, you heard that one? And one of the churches said, in the beginning you were good. But you've lost your first love. You know, what does that mean? Oh, I don't love my brother. I don't love my sister. I don't love people. No. They challenged the false apostles. Why and what avenue would they have charged and faced the false apostles? Would they have picked up the writings of Paul? Would they have picked up the writings of Peter? Would they have picked up the writings of Matthew? No, because they didn't exist. What do you think they picked up? The Torah. Right? Their first love was the statutes and the judgments, just like King David. His first love was the statutes and the judgments. He wanted to live there. He lived there. He did his very best. I think it's one of the most awesome men, even though he stumbles and falls, and he has done some things contrary, maybe many things contrary to God, but nonetheless, he's a man after God's own heart. By the way, he's not the only one that is limited to that. You can be a human being, a man or a woman, after God's own heart. What is God's heart? Look at Deuteronomy. We won't go there today, all of it. But he says, oh, if there were a heart in them, then I would be their God. Pretty big thing, isn't it? And what did Jesus say? Yeshua say, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. And what did he say? Not one jot, not one tittle is removed from the law or the prophets. I guess that's what he wants us to do, right? Is that not an order, a commandment from him? So we go back to the very beginning. Now, go on to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, Yahuwah thy, our Elohim, Yahuwah is Echad, one. Thou shalt love Yahuwah thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And these words which I command thee today shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children. What are you supposed to teach your children? The statutes and the judgments. That's how you love the Lord your God. And you teach your children. You also teach children, and you shall talk of them, the statutes and judgment, with your children when you sit in your house. You will talk about the statutes and the judgments when you walk by the way with your children. You will talk about the statutes and judgments when thou lie down and when they lie down, when you lie down with them and when they rise up. And when you rise up, you'll talk about the statutes and the judgments to your children. What was a great thing that God said about Abraham? I know he will teach his sons and his grandsons. What do you think Abraham taught him? Love the Lord? No. Do. Practice. He responded. When God asked you to do something, what did he do? Did it. That proved he loved God. The deeds is very important. Deuteronomy 10th chapter. Now Israel, verse 12. Now Israel, what does Yahuwah thy Elohim desire of thee, but to fear Yahuwah thy Elohim, to walk in his ways, and to love him, to serve thy Elohim, or serve Elohim, thy Elohim, Yahuwah, with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of Yahuwah and his statutes, which I command you here today for good. We have a pretty good picture there, right? We all are here because we want, not only do we want to know the statutes, we're here because we want to participate within them, be part of them, be connected to them, be joined with the Creator of heaven and earth. And when he says, when you do this and you cry out or you talk to me, what will he do? He will respond to you. Because you have wisdom and you have great understanding. In all of your getting, get understanding. All you get is understanding, just what says there in Deuteronomy. Look at the statutes and look at the judgments, and you will have great. Let's move quickly now into the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. We have a message that's not going to be very long. since I don't need to repeat so many, though I do repeat, I don't have to repeat. Hebrews, the 8th chapter. This has to do with what is called the New Testament, but very important to listen. Starting in verse 7. He says, "For if the first covenant had been flawless, there would be no need to be sought or begin a second one. Because finding fault with them, or flaw with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, says Yahuwah, then when I will make a new covenant, new agreement with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the commandment, or in order to the covenant, which I made with them, their fathers, in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Today, none of you have been led by the hand of God." Did you get that? You were not led by the hand of God. What were you led by? Let's go on. This is how you have, and he said he's going to do it. "Because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says Yahuwah. For this is the covenant that I will make with them of the house of Israel after those days, says Yahuwah. I will put my law in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be their Elohim, and they should be my people." Oh, wow. That's something different, isn't it? Now it's you are to do something more than just being led by God. What is your statute? What is your law? What is your judgment? And I'll do it, right? And as soon as he lets go, you walk over here. But now, internally, inside of you, something is different. Something has changed. And the change is done because, of course, we know the death, and you walk through this Holy of Holies. And Hebrews explains it very, very carefully. So none of us today have been led by God by His hand. He has called you, He has placed within you, your mind, His statutes and His judgments. Well, let's not go back to Deuteronomy then. That's boring, right? Oh, no, go back there and have him say, "I want this in me. I want this part. I want this statue. I want this part in my brain. I want this part of judgment. I want this. I want this written in my mind. I want this written in my heart. I want all the statutes that you have ever placed. Instead of leading me with them, put them within me. That I'll never depart from them." That is why you are here. Because you don't want to be departed. You wouldn't be keeping Sukkot. You didn't have that in your heart. And we'll talk about your heart here in a minute. Let's continue on here in Hebrews. Because this part has not yet been completed. It's very obvious not been completed. We'll get to there why it has not been yet. Verse 11. "None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know Yahuwah. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." So, when he has completed, the New Testament, by the way, if I use this terminology, is still very, very active today, and is still very, very much in full force, and it's very, very much in full power. And how is he going to do this? How do you know God? How do you know Elohim? How do you know the Father? We'll get to there in a minute. The primary thing Hebrews is telling you is quoting God. I will write my statutes in your mind. I will write my judgments in your mind. Isn't that a fantastic way? You don't have to be. You must learn, and you will learn, and we talked about slavery. We'll get that in a minute here. You're learning to become obedient. Obedient is not something, I will be very, very upfront with you. Obedient is not something that is easy to do. Nor is obedience something that's easy to be understood. Hardly any of us really have a good picture of what God means when he says obedience. Hearken unto. Listen to what I'm saying. And then act upon it. That's the simplicity of obedience. If you want to say, I want to obey God, listen to the statutes. Listen to the judgments. Then you'll know precisely what he is after. You say, well, I am weak. Hey, you get there. Hold on. Therefore, he says there, verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Wow. When is that going to take place? Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9, and verse 19 rather. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of the Messiah, by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way which he consecrated us. Your way, a new way, a different way than it was before. How was it before? He took by the hand. Now, he's placing his statutes and his judgments in your mind and in your heart. So if you want to know what God wants, you still don't understand his statutes, don't understand his judgments, get on your knees, open up the statutes, and say, this I'm reading, O Eternal Father. I'm going to read it. Please, beg of you, because you said, if I do this, you will grant me wisdom. You will grant me great understanding. So I want to read this, Father. Place it in my mind. Place it in my heart. That's where I want it to be. Then you could be the one that stands and says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you say, okay, this is living evidence that you love God, that you love the Messiah. When you keep them in your heart, in your mind, you preserve them there, you protect them there. That's what it is. Then you know something.
By a new and living way which he consecrated us through his flesh. I said on the Day of Atonement, each one of us has, we must, we should,
maybe we already have,
walked through that veil. If you haven't walked through that veil, then you're not living in a new and a different way.
You ever thought that you walked through that veil? What is that veil? When does that veil take place? I always say, yeah, Passover time. What is the Holy of Holies? What was the Day of Atonement about? It is to remove all sins, all transgressions, and all iniquities. When that occurs, then you have a new and a living way, entirely different than you ever had before. And you're not taking it by the hand. You walked through the veil. No one took your hand. You can say, I don't go there. Then you're not going to be living in a new and living way, a better way. But you walk through it. Now you're on the other side. You're on the other side, and here you are in the time of what's called Sukkot. A time when you are going to be living and being with the Creator of heaven and earth. How do you get there? Loving the statutes and the judgments. That's how you get there. Why earn it? No, you didn't. You're already got salvation. You know that. That is, the blood's been done this job. It's got rid of the sins and the transgressions. It's got rid of the inequities. It's got rid of the perversion. It's got rid of the warped stuff. That's all gone now. You think that you never, ever have to hear the Word of God ever again because that's gone now? You think you don't have to live by anything He says from that point on because now sin's been done away with? Therefore, you can ignore God? You can't. You're going to walk through there. You're going to increase tremendous in wisdom, tremendous in understanding, because, see, the statutes will be well established within you. Well established, and the judgment well established within you. Let's go to John. First John. In chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Beginning in verse 18. Real short. Do my very best to make it simple. My little children, let us not love in words or in tongue. You know, when you, with your mouth, open up and you say, I love you, you just broke what the Apostle John said not to do. Oh, I love you, and you speak in a tongue. You just broke what the Apostle Paul just got through telling you. I don't care whether it's in English, Italian, Hebrew. When you open up your mouth and you say that, you just broke what Apostle John just said, do not do. Did you ever notice that before? This is what he says. You will love how? By deeds, or by deed and by truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth, my people? I mean, God's people. The statutes and the judgments. You live by them, you're living in truth. When you do something, you don't have to say anything to anybody. When you do something that is what God has done in deed and in truth, that's true love. Next one, verse 19. By this we know that we are of the truth. If we love in deed and in truth, we know we are in the truth. Sorry, what? Okay. And assure, we shall be assured in our hearts before Him. Verse 20 is very, very, very critical. He says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows it. If your heart condemns you,
It is because, tell you bluntly, truthfully, you have not loved in deeds and in truth. You will feel guilty. You will feel something called judgment, and you will be judging against yourself. And you will feel it. You will know it. Because God automatically just says, okay, hunky-dory, I forgive you. Let's go on with life. No, he says, I know the heart. I know all things. The reason why your heart is now guilty and you feeling guilty is because I know what you think and what you do. Right? Pretty powerful, don't you think?
Next verse.
If our heart does not condemn us, what do we have? We have confidence toward Elohim. Because he knows our heart. He knows all things. He knows that if you do by deed and do it in truth, then thy word is truth. Not one jot, not one tittle is removed from the truth. You cannot amend a jot. You can't remove a jot. You can't adjust the tittle. You can't alter the tittle. You can't add anything to it or take it away. You know that. Okay. Now, with that in mind, he says now, verse 22, we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive of him. Sounds familiar back there in Deuteronomy, doesn't it? A wise and understanding people. We will ask, we can ask, and it will be given to us. Because why? We are doing the deeds in truth. Same thing here. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. What's pleasing in his sight? Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see Elohim. They will see Elohim. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If your heart is pure, you will see him. You will see him. And if your heart condemns you, he knows why. Who are you going to turn to and say, Father, show me, I know I have, now I'm condemning my action, condemning my deeds. The reason why your heart is going to say, judge against yourself is because, see, you understand the statutes. You understand the law. You understand the judgments. And when you have a guilty feeling internally, you should recognize really quick, God knows. God knows. Oh my God. What must I do now? Contrite, broken spirit. Purge it out as fast as it came in. That's what we do. Okay, with that being said, I want to go to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Breaking into the entire concept, I'm not going to read the whole thing, just part of it. Matthew, the 11th chapter, and verse 25. And here Yeshua is saying, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and Lord of earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes. For it is a good thing. And that's what you saw. And that's what you did. Blessed be God. That you have that.
The verse, next verse is, go to 27.
All things have been delivered to me by my Father.
Listen carefully what these words are.
No one knows the Son except the Father.
Oh, you say you know the Father? He says, no one knows except me. Next.
Nor does anyone know the Father except by the Son. And the one whom the Son wills to be revealed to him. The only reason why you are understanding anything about the Father, the only reason why you can say and talk to him as a Father, the only reason why you understand the words of the Father, understand thy word is truth, is because the Messiah said, I decided to bring you in and to let you know who my Father really is. And what he said to Philip? Philip says, show me the Father. And he says, if you have not known me, Philip, you have not known the Father. But if you've known me, you know exactly what the Father is. He revealed to Philip who and what the Father is, what he does, and how he thinks. You and I have been given that great and awesome thing. Lord of heaven, Lord of earth.
Wow. That's why when you call upon him, you will be heard. It's the will of your Messiah. He made the decision. Cost him his life, but he made the decision. And he says, call upon me, you who labor on heavy and burden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What is this yoke that we are supposed to take on? What is this thing that we're supposed to learn from him? He tells us really simple the very next statement. I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. You will then rest your souls. What is the burden of Messiah? What is his yoke? I am gentle. What is he going to teach you? I'm lowly in heart. Not a high-minded person. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not the end. Remember Romans, the 6th chapter. Just touch it a little bit. Not on what John spoke yesterday, but there's some things I know he would like to have talked about, but he ran out of time. Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 16. We'll start there. Do you know that when or to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are the one's slave? You belong to that person or to that object. In this case, sin. If you serve or a slave, not a master, he's the master, sin's the master. If you obey and serve him, you're going to die. And there's another one that says, obedience leading unto righteousness. Remember I told you obedience, the simplicity of the word obedience is, you're going to listen, and then you're going to respond. That's the simplicity of that 1611 English word. Listen to and respond. You know what Shema means in Hebrew? Listen to and respond. Same meaning. The simplicity of the meaning. He goes on here, and now it says, but verse 17, but Elohim be thanked that through you, though you were slaves to sin, heading to death, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered by. How can you obey from the heart? Hebrews. I am going to write my statutes and my judgments in your heart. That's how it's done. Not by you, by him. That's the reason you can be delivered from death. Because you're hearkening unto and responding to what God is writing and will continue on writing in your heart and in your mind. It doesn't come overnight. It takes a lifetime. He gave man 70 years on average. Because he wants great understanding. And Moses said, this is, you know, turn there, it's Romans 10, verse 5. You don't go there. There's only one verse. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. I'm going to rephrase it. Moses writes of the righteousness which is of the statutes and the judgments. The man who does them, the man who does those things, shall live. Shall live. And since he said, I am not going to take you by the hand anymore, I'm going to write them. Make it part of you. My conclusion today. There we are here, and the laws of God are being written in our hearts. And we can, because of that, obey. If they weren't written in our hearts, we could not obey. The Apostle Paul says, the law is spiritual, has everything to do with God and not flesh. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, and we do this way, bringing them in. Why do we do this? Because you want them to come. And if they see by your deeds that it is in truth, that it's within the thy word is truth, rather than words of, I love you. When John just said, don't do it that way. It's not going to work. It's wrong. Your thinking is way off. What are you supposed to do? Deeds. And it must be within the truth. And thy word is truth. All your friends, your family, your relatives, your fellow worker, I don't care what character that person is. I don't care whether that person cusses and swears and does all sorts of wicked and perverse things and everything else. In the greatest desire of your Father is to bring them in here. So what you do, not what you say, but what you do, and if it's in the truth, that's what they are going to see. Why? Because that's how God is. Everything God has ever, to prove that he is, loves you, he doesn't come down every day and says, oh, I love you, Susie. Oh, I love you, Richard. I love you, Frank. I love you, David. I love you, whoever your name is. He didn't say that. He says, I'm doing this. You got the passage yet? Yeah, okay. I'll do it. Good. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this also. He does that. What does he do? Provide for you food, clothing, shelter. He raises you and gives you family. He gives you sons. He gives you daughters. He gives you a home. He gives you a work. He gives you the talent to do it. He gives you the brain to be able to handle it. He's the one that gives you everything. And then you look and say, what has God done for me lately? What has He not done for you lately? It's another question. And all those people you work for, you are by what your actions and your deeds, and if it's in truth, they're going to see it. I'm not at work telling people all about Jesus or about Passover or about days of unleavened bread. I just go and I go do it. They say, oh, I'm not boasting this because I'm not a boaster. My wife can testify this. I am probably the most respected person there where I work. They don't call me Richard, those who are my superiors. They call me Mr. A.G. And I'm working for them. And it just, they come, they say, I got a problem. Their mouth is clean. It's okay. Leave it there. Now, if it's not, guess what I do? I continue doing whatever I need to do to make that person who's got a filthy mouth do his job. Do his job. He's got a problem. He comes. Cusses up one downside the other because it's everything. I look at the problem. Okay. I'll correct this thing. I'll give it back to him. So what if he damns me? I could care less. All I want to do is to serve. Now, God's going to have me serve. What Apostle Paul, Peter, I think it was. If you have an austere master, what's your problem? You don't like the guy you're working for? What's your problem? There is no problem. So I hope that maybe today we can have a different look at, not a whole lot look at, because you people have heard me rattle up and down all over the place about the statutes and judgments, but I really feel that you are one of the biggest examples for the people around about you. Why? Because God is writing every jot and every tittle of the statutes and judgments inside your heart. May God bless you all. And what's next now? God. Any questions? Quick. Any questions? We have one down here. That was a whole hour. I was trying to make it shorter.
It's not really a question. It's just to say that this is exciting to know this, to learn this. It's a shot in the arm, so to speak.
It's hope eternal.
Yeah, yeah.
Hope eternal. Oh, great eternal God, you are so awesome, and you have brought us into your world, and your Son has looked upon us, and He will hear. He has given us your knowledge. He has given us you. He has given us to be aware of you, to know you. And Father, we want to know. Help us with every part of our being to be one who is living unto God and not to anybody else. You are our Father, you are our God, and we are your people. Guide our hearts and guide our minds and strengthen us. We will depart from here in a few days. Help us to see those people round about us, no matter who they are. That is your great desire, that they will have the statutes, the judgments written in their hearts, in their minds, as you are now doing and continuing doing. We praise and glorify you. In the name of your Son, Yahshua Mashiach. Amen.